trouble. You know why?
I don't.
You don't mind me telling you, right?
I don't.
It makes a difference. Why?
I don't.
Very well said.
Agreed.
And so I can play it. But here's the thing. Play it. Make a damn sure you play it correctly.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you. She's 10 feet tall. And if you go chasing rabbits, and you know you're going to...
Welcome to Avenue A, traveling northbound. This is the Barrister, and I'm walking with the Apologist. We are departing a lovely bar, a alternative location, because Kelly's Sports Bar was overflowing with blue and gold tonight. Sabres just pulled off a stellar 5-1 victory over the Capitals, taking over sole possession of 8th place. And I, for one, could not be more surprised, pleased, flummoxed, lots of different adjectives to describe the state of joy I am existing within right now. I mean, I haven't felt this good about hockey in probably, I don't know, since they were in Europe, it feels like, since they opened the season. This feels like the real deal, finally. Knocking on wood, there's no wood around. Oh, awful. But we are walking back to Apologist's apartment. I caught only a little bit of this game. Are we cutting through this park right here? Oh, Tompkins Square. Okay.
I got a stub on.
Are you not allowed to smoke in the park?
Oh, excuse me?
Oh.
Barrister?
You don't know that it was sometime last...
Oh, Bloomberg. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Bloomberg passed an act that you are no longer allowed to smoke in parks in any event.
I remember that.
Yes, I too did not catch the whole game, admittedly. I missed the first period where we scored 2 goals.
I actually saw the first period, so that's fun.
Oh, okay.
Between the two of us, we saw the whole game.
Yes. Exactly.
Awesome.
That's why this works. But we just, I mean, to say we beat them is an understatement. We demolished them. We took them apart. We ran their starting goaltender from the game minutes into the second period on a great goal from Vanek, who's been, you know, most fans would have to admit, sluggish, even his biggest supporters, whether it's injuries or whatever, who knows for sure besides him and Lindy. But, you know, it was a great, sharp goal from a guy who's been, you know, struggling recently. And then Pominville just absolutely just disrobing Ovechkin, shorthanded, buries one. And then Ennis, with a great pass to Stafford, gives Stafford his 19th.
Yeah, second of the game.
So, I mean, this team is just clicking on all cylinders. The loss of the two defensemen is tough. We'll see in the coming days. Who knows? By the time this goes up, maybe we'll already know. Hopefully it's not, the news isn't too bad on Erhoff and Sakara. But this is a feel-good win in every possible way. I mean, Miller had 45 saves. His one goal was a shot he had almost no shot on. He would have just get really lucky to have stopped the Capitals' one goal. And otherwise, he was a brick wall. And then, you know, but it didn't matter too much because we put up 5 against a team that needed this game just as badly as we did. We're just clicking on all cylinders is the best way I can describe it. And man, oh man, who would have thought 2 months ago we'd be sitting in the position we're in now? I mean, I know it might sound like a broken record similar to past years, But I think this team, in terms of being a threat for a lower seed, is as threatening, if not more so, than they've been in past seasons. Certainly, I find this team to be more imposing for anyone they face in the playoffs than last year's team was.
Well, and I think that's right. I was when I was writing the post that I put up this morning, actually, which would have been Tuesday morning of the 27th, depending on when this streetcast goes up, just as a point of reference. But when I was taking a look at, you know, where we were last year and how we ended the year. And, I mean, we ended it strong. We ended, I think, with a 4 or 5 game winning streak, including an OT win over Carolina. And I think about, like, the 78th game of last season. And but a lot of those games were really close in my memory. You know, a lot of one-goal games. A lot of games that, I mean, it felt at the time like they were sort of hanging on by the skin of their teeth. Enroth was in for a lot of those. And, you know, he was not a proven commodity at that point, and arguably still isn't now. But, you know, it certainly didn't feel as dominating as, you know, look at the last 3 wins. I mean, given the Wild are not necessarily, you know, one of the most imposing teams in the league right now, but you look at a 4-1 win at MSG against the East's best. Then the next night, a 3-1 win coming from 1-0 behind at the first intermission back at home. And then a couple days off, and then going down to the team you're tied in points with in Washington, a team that's as hot as you are, absolutely dominating them from almost the get-go. I mean, the first period was all Sabres tonight, and it didn't let up. It only got worse. I mean, Holtby, the starting goalie, looked real rusty, but he just came off a shutout on Sunday. I mean, he's not bad. He's clearly not bad. He's coming off a game where he had to be at his most confident as a rookie. He's coming in looking for something to prove, and he made just terrible mistakes under, I think, pretty sustained pressure. Things that are going right for the Sabres now are things that were just going wrong for them early in the season. They're getting lots of opportunities, and they're burying each one. They'll take a shot from, you know, point blank where they have, you know, a great opportunity instead of missing the net or shooting it right at the goalie or, you know, pretty much just being the kind of snake-bitten team that they were from mid-December through early February. Those shots are going in right now, and I mean, the confidence breeds confidence. You get guys on the roster who are just Drew Stafford, unbelievable, 19 goals. Who no one could have expected this. And I can't be more pleased with where this team's at. This last week and a half does not scare me now. It's something I didn't expect at all. I'm not scared by any of the teams that we're playing over the next week and a half. Certainly not the Flyers with, you know, Boneship, Brizgalov, and certainly not the Pens who just got done up by the Isles tonight, you know? It seems like every team in the East is beatable right now if the Sabres play their game. This door more private, this is not full show. It's most of what you call real full show. Is they what you call gangster? Hell no. They get a little pinch and go snitch to the pole. They all talk fast, but they all think slow. I'm most definite not think so. Fudge is city with the black ink float, and my crew ain't scared to let them things go. So stop with the nonsense, like he conscious. I'm just a wake dog, I'm doing great dog. I don't play games, so I don't play a hate y'all. Get it straight and get the f*** up my face dog. I'm like the second plane that made the towers face off. This to let you know it's really not a game dog. Your grind and my grind ain't the same dog. I'm the catalog, you the same song. So cool and old school like 8-4. The one the little mommies running up they waist for. The one a real niggas got their hand raised for. Me and D. Chappelle got a yellow tape dog.
Don't so push skate me off. Cause I'm close
to the streets, to the beats, the bitches, the niggas, the women, the children, the workers, the dealers, the addicts, well, the killers. There's one thing that's sort of a tangent that I wanted to say that I mentioned to you before. I wanted to repeat for our podcast listeners that I love how we are pressing offensively even at the end of games that we're winning handily. Even tonight with a 4-goal cushion, we were, even in the closing minutes, trying to push our offense and not basically what I said before was that this idea that we're the kind of team that can quote unquote clamp down in the closing minutes, that's not our style. That's not what we're built for. We're not built to be a team that clamps down when they've got a decent lead. We need to be playing our best. We have to be pushing our offense from start to finish. Because the moment we let that up, everything gets let up. Offense, defense, focus, everything depends on us staying diligent offensively. And they've been doing that in these last few games. And, I mean, they're as hot as they get. You're right. I mean, our only losses in the last couple weeks are games that we gave up in the closing seconds and then couldn't hang on to in overtime. So, you know, maybe that doesn't, you know, maybe that's not good enough for some people, but, you know, I like our five against anyone else's five in multiple overtimes. Everything's clicking right now, as I've said seven or eight times, and you just can't ask them, like, look, that was the other point I wanted to say. We've said it, other people have said it, and rightfully so. They should still, even today, be in a better position than they are with the talent they've got. But as of today, every element of that talent is playing as well as it possibly can. Even Derrick Roy, who we have been more than happy to take shots at, tonight, last few games, he's looked as good as he ever has wearing a Sabres uniform. So he made some things happen tonight. And his line of him, Leno, and Pominville, you can't argue with the facts that they're generating good chances every time they're on the ice. They swing the momentum in our direction every time they skate out there. And then you've got a great second line clicking right now in the works with Ennis, Foligno, and Stafford. Yes, Stafford has had a bad season, but if there was a time for him to catch hot,
sure, I'd rather be now.
Right now, today is the time for him to have his best time of the year.
Last year he got hot in the middle of the season, and you know earned himself a nice little deal by basically having a couple hat tricks against garbage squads. I think he had a hat trick on New Year's Day last year, New Year's Eve last year against the Bruins.
Just because that was another thing we were talking about before, like, as the apologist, I have my apologies for the team. And if there's one I have to say that nobody, whether you're talking about Lindy making the lineup card or the players going on the ice, there's been such little consistency, right or wrong, whatever you want to say, again, about debating, well, should we have been smarter about how we put guys out there? It's been difficult for people to get comfortable because guys are hurt, guys are switching lines, people are called up, people are sent down. And so someone like Stafford, who's just having a tough year, because like I've said before, I don't question his effort, but it just hasn't connected. Now he's catching Ennis on the rise, who seems to be blossoming before our eyes, as everyone seems to agree, is at worst our number two center for the near future. He has risen along with it. I mean, his great chances have come because Ennis has been creating so well, and vice versa. Ennis looks great because he plays on a line with a guy who is talented. He just hasn't shown it. And Roy is playing better on a line with other guys now. And look, we had an offense at the beginning of the year that we knew should score at least a couple goals in an evenly matched game. Now it's finally happening. And if not at least two, we're scoring five against a Capitals team that needs the win as badly as we do. So
sure.
You can't argue with the results right now. You can debate that maybe they should be in a better position.
Well, that's past, though. What's the point of debating that?
So like, that's exactly what I'm
saying.
It's
a month and a half ago that ended.
The only cynical argument right now is, well, they should be in a better position. They're playing as well as humanly possible with the bodies on the roster.
Since the All-Star break, they've been one of the top three or four best teams in hockey.
Right.
And you can't ask for anything more than that. I mean, you could have asked for anything more 3 months ago, but that's past. You can't fix that now. The only thing you can fix is going out and ensuring that you get into the playoffs the way that you should, the way that you promised your fan base you would, in essence, the way that we all expected they would. I mean, it doesn't matter who we play. I mean, the reality is that at the beginning of the season, if you said the Sabres are going to be making the playoffs and they're going to be playing the Rangers in the first round, no one would have thought anything. No one expected the Rangers to be as good as they were all year. No one expected the Sabres to be as consistently bad as they were for about 3 months. But here we are. And so you have a Rangers team that looks exactly how we knew they would look. They have one of the five best goaltenders in the game. They have one of the best number one centers in the game. They have a young team, Gabrick, you know, all these other players who are amazing. You have all this talent on the team that you knew about. Okay, so we're playing them. So what happens? I mean, we're playing Boston. If we play Boston in a seven-game series, it's the same shit. Who cares? Right. Like, these are the same teams that we knew they would be. But this is a Sabres team that is playing right now its best hockey of the year. They're playing better hockey than they were in the lead-up to the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. They have more lines clicking in a scary way. If you look at this team, it's kind of eerily reminiscent of that 07 team, but just sort of in a backwards kind of way. Like, the 07 team was good all year, but you looked at its pieces, and we're sort of finding that spark late. And I love the way that the lines are constructed now. And that's one of the reasons why, like, when I noted in the post today, Lindy's got to keep it this way, because you have Roy Pominville and Leno you call it a first line. Who cares if it's your first line or not? I mean, really, ultimately, Ennis, Foligno, and Stafford may be your first line on any given night. It just doesn't matter. But then you also have, you know, Corey Tropp, Vanek, and
Hodgson.
And Hodgson.
Right. No, which, I was just going to say that.
And if you put Vanek on third line, he was on a third line in 07. And that's when he was at his very best as a Buffalo Sabre.
Right.
And
that was another thing I was going to say, is that all sports are a game of inches. And when you saw this team earlier in the year, I think there was a fair number of us who could see that it wasn't that we were necessarily not playing hard enough or anything. It's just like those matter of inches between, like, getting a one-timer that's in the right spot.
They were snake bitten. They just couldn't buy a goal. They couldn't buy a win.
That pass that, like, if it's a couple inches off that guy's stick, then it's perfect. We have now found this chemistry across three lines. You're right, because I don't think it's arguable that the most productive two lines,
Roy and Ennis's line, are the best two.
Right. Yeah. Roy and Ennis's line is the best two. But the chemistry that is being built at just the right time between Hodgson, Vanek, and Tropp,
huge.
Is
couldn't,
huge.
Couldn't,
I mean,
be,
and you'd
be
much and you'd much rather have, I think all hockey fans would agree, that as opposed to, like I feel like Ottawa's the classic team in recent years, playoff wise, where they've got a number one line that frightens you, but then their next three line, I mean, obviously everybody has the fourth line that's, we can disregard the fourth line. So
not,
you have
not tonight, three, not tonight,
not tonight, but you have three lines that you'd rather have three lines that can definitely generate offense than one line that's phenomenal and two lines that are, maybe.
Sure.
Right now, like, Vanek is playing on our third best line.
No, and that's exactly right now.
We've said it before.
It's where he should be right now.
He looks like he's hurt.
No.
Like, he looks like a guy who's
not healthy.
But
he's going to keep scoring goals if he plays on that third line.
Right, but his, you know, at 50%, he's still good enough to make things happen. Like, tonight, and that's what I mean about chemistry, Hodgson made a great play towards the net, and Vanek was right where he's supposed to be when that rebound came out. And that's what I mean about the inches. Like, earlier in the season, that rebound floats out and nobody's there. I mean, that happens all the time in hockey, but that's what it comes down to. Like, if you're the team that winds up winning the Stanley Cup, every time that puck floats out in front of the net, you're the ones that get to that more often than not. And Vanek was right there and put it in the perfect spot. Because he's Thomas Vanek, and he's fucking great. And again, this is what we knew we had at the beginning of the year was what made it frustrating.
And I come was at stake. There was a lot more than 2 points here tonight. We had to make sure we sent the message and take their will away right from the get-go. And I thought overall we did a good job. In his case, it might have taken a little longer than what he thought, but he's playing the way we expect him to play and the way he always plays. He's giving us a chance to win and battling on every shot he gets.
By the time you listen to this, we might already know enough to know whether or not Erhoff's going to be available down the line. They won't give details regardless, but we all know when a guy's coming back or whether he's not. But what was scary about it is that it wasn't that bad, but those are the ones that always wind up being the worst. He had a knee-to-knee collision, which is overstating it. He bumped knees with a guy on a random play, but as soon as he pulled off, he immediately went for his knee and immediately skated off the ice. Same with Sakara, actually. He was forced to finish out his shift. The second he was hurt, it was like you could tell he was in terrible pain. Hopefully, they're just...
Hopefully not. They're not both out. I mean, the Sabres have okay depth in Rochester right now at D-man.
Yes,
I mean,
and they've Miller's already playing well enough where you don't have to be flawless.
And suddenly, I mean, as you said before, if the team is playing well offensively, it means defense. And it means they have five guys out on the ice creating defense by, you know, keeping the puck in the zone, by having whoever is on D pinch up and having really smart forward play getting back and helping out.
Right.
I mean, the way that they've been cycling the past couple weeks has been phenomenal. I mean, there haven't been those... No. I mean, there were a couple odd man rushes tonight that I saw, but you always had that one guy getting back just doing enough.
Well, and that was the other huge thing from the beginning of the season that has changed. The most drastic shift is defense. We're playing such better defense. Even when we get those odd, like, we remember earlier in the season, every fan does, we were totally misplaying odd man rushes earlier in the year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, an odd man rush doesn't automatically mean a goal. Like, people get excited when that happens. When you see a 3-on-2, you get fired up as a fan. Happens every time. But I bet if you average that out, it's only successful at best 30-40% of the time, average out against every other shot you get on.
Yeah, that. Sure.
Doesn't necessarily, like, it's not as automatic. Like, it's certainly a better chance that it's going to even out if you execute correctly. But if you play smart defensively and you've got a goaltender who can see the puck and...
Well, that's the thing, Ryan Miller...
Because that was the other thing. Earlier in the season, we would be accidentally screening Ryan Miller on these rushes.
You don't play the man with the puck.
The pass. Right. Or we would not really play either guy rushing down the ice.
Yes.
Not really play the puck.
No,
and
exactly.
Just wind up being... There was... Like, basically, like, a dummy on the... Might as well have just, like, put out, like, a sandbag and just, like...
Yeah, well, early on, it was almost as if they were fighting their instincts, which was to play the man with the puck. And what Miller and Lindy and all the coaching staff was telling them, which is you have an all-world goalie behind you, play the pass and just make sure that there's no easy one-timer on the far side in an open net.
Yes.
Because Miller can read. He's as good, for me, he's as good of a poke checker as any goaltender in the league. He's as good one-on-one as any goaltender in the league. And you want to give him that chance so that he's not getting beat by the other guy that he can't control. And the thing, I mean, to a certain extent, a lot of that had to do with a lack of confidence in Miller at the time. He was coming back from concussions. His head wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And I think the team was pressing to help him out at a time when he just wasn't himself. And he was letting in soft goals, and they were trying to, I think, do too much. And now that everything is just working in a cohesive way.
Well, and also, we were as much a part of it as anyone. Let's not forget, there was a groundswell of support for his backup that, for a guy that we know in Ryan Miller is cerebral, if nothing else, he would never in a million years admit it. You know that fucked with his head. You know, like, as much as he loves to
say to the media, oh, I don't listen to that stuff. I don't pay attention to what anyone's saying about me. You know he reads every last syllable. He reads every quote that everyone says, and he uses that to go out on the ice and say, fuck you guys, I'm the best goaltender in the world.
Sure. Well, and the
and
way
recently
that
he's been doing that in every way, shape, and form.
Well,
but also, the other thing I wanted to say is that I wanted to point out two other things. A, Ehrhoff and Reguerre have both gotten better and better all year, and that, in to Darcy's credit, those guys have started to play like guys worth paying for the next 5-6 years. I mean, they're playing like defenders that we would happily put in our top two lines for seasons and seasons to come. The other thing being that this is actually a thought I had, I think it was coming off of a college basketball game that I was watching the other day, the North Carolina-Kansas game.
Right.
In any event, that's not the important. The important detail is that the color commentator made a good point that, and obviously it's more so when they're younger kids, but I'm sure it's certainly totally applicable for a lot of guys at the pro level. When you're doing poorly offensively, which most of the team was for the first two-thirds of the season, it makes it that much harder to go back and play hard on defense.
Sure.
Like, when you're not generating anything offensively, I mean, yes, it's an excuse. It's not a good one. It's not, like, that shouldn't be okay. Like, they're still supposed to play hard on defense regardless of what's happening. But, look, they're human. Like, if a guy like Pominville or, like, not so much for the defenseman. Like, for the defenseman, I think it's been more about guys being hurt and guys getting comfortable where they are, like Ehrhoff and Reguerre, and the repositioning of the depth chart. But in terms of the forwards and how they all play, because they were as much a problem, they were giving up ridiculous turnovers. The puck handling has been so much better over the last couple months. They've just protected the puck way better than they were earlier in the season. And that becomes so much easier, like you said, when you are breeding confidence on offense, when you feel more comfortable with your line, with the puck, yada, yada.
Well, you don't feel like you need to push on defense to create an odd man rush the other way and give yourself a shot.
Attitude-wise, in their last few games, like you mentioned the Minnesota game, that seemed like a genuine opportunity for them to kind of go in the bag a little bit. They started slow, and Minnesota got the early lead. And I feel like some fans would agree with me. It had all the makings of the look of a game that in last seasons past, maybe we would like tie it, but we would continue to play sluggish for the rest of the game. They woke up early in the second period and just took the game over.
It was done.
Tonight, like, they got a decent lead. They got that's understating it. 3-0 on the road against Caps. Great lead.
Great lead.
But they gave up a tough goal on a faceoff. And, you know, you wouldn't have been.
And then had a penalty kill.
Right, and they're on the power play, or on the penalty kill, you're right. And, you know, you're not expecting them to necessarily go for it. And that's what I meant before about when they have tried in the past to be a team that, like, tries to clamp down and play defensively, knowing they have a great goaltender. I understand why they've tried to do it. But whoever finally figured it out in the last month or two, forget it. We play our best when we are trying to push the puck down the ice. That's what was successful in from 05 to 07. We didn't play defense in those years. We just used our, like, particularly when you have, when your best centers are two guys who are less than 5'10 or shorter, don't try to play like a, you know, hold the puck and hope for the best kind of game. Force them to skate with you. Get them exhausted. Just push, push, push. Make them play defense. Make them stop you. And that makes you better. Like, it just, they're playing so much better. And I think a big part of it is them just, like, really, not just chemistry, but scheme-wise, they're not thinking about too much about defense anymore. They're doing what they're supposed to do with the puck. But they're more focused on pushing the envelope, and it's the results are there.
That was a nice little ramble you had
there.
Ramble,
ramble, ramble, ramble.
There you go. Well, that was a nice little streetcast. We are back at Apps' apartment. We're going to hang out for a little bit.
Have been for a while. I've stalled us.
We've been hanging out outside.
Go basketball. I'll miss you, Amare.
Amare is real.
Can't wait. Opening day. First pitch.
Yeah.
Ow!
Baseball.
So many other sports I'm excited about.
Seriously.
Too.
And
it's a good time in my sports life. And anyone who tolerates us for more than 10 minutes.
Well, they'll stick with us for 30.
They'll stick with us for another 30 to 40. If they can't make it 15, they're not going to make it another 20, let alone an hour. So, come on.
Might as well just give them what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in any event, I think tonight may be the first episode of The Legal Limit that we, I think, might get the listeners a little bit of a little Drew Hartman.
Yes.
I think that it's time.
It's time.
It's time for a little Doctor Who.
If you don't know, kind of like dreaming by now, you got to know.
Seriously. So we'll drop that to close us out, to take us out. Thanks for listening. This is another episode of The Legal Limit. This is The Barrister.
The Apologist.
Thanks for listening. Let's go, Buffalo.
Fuck you, Joey. All the same. It's like thinking about a Lincoln. Cadillac walls. Blowing to the stars. KLD. It's like thinking about a Lincoln. Cadillac walls. Sunroof smoking. Blowing to the stars. Check. I dedicate this verse to old Milwaukee. Speak with a walkie-talkie, never been to Milwaukee. I dedicate this verse to Stephen Hawking, cause he kept talking while y'all kept gawking. Into the universe, usually it's disheartening. And I don't choose a verse, usually just embarking. On a trip, man, get a grip, man, get a brain, man, make a change, Mr. Tin Man. Coming through the spot, know what I mean? Speak what I feel, follow through like a jump shot. Crossover, Johnny Flynn, Minnesota roller. Told you about the city that I'm from, though. Night glow, take it to the hole on my own. Isolation, used to get blunted by the train station. Trying to get patient, I never been that. Sitting in the back of the class, chewing my pen cap. 10 reps, I used to get.